Welcome to Spotlight, everyone. Today I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity to interview Terry Borden. Terry has become a very essential part of our online family and someone who everyone has come to love. Terry, as Becky says, you're in the hot seat today, and just relax and try to enjoy this interview as much as we all will. Terry, I think we'll start with your childhood. I know that you were born visually impaired. I don't know if you saw more as a child than you do now, but if you tell us a little bit about that and your childhood, that would be a great starting point.
Yeah, hi, Jen and everybody. Pleasure to be here today. Well, I was born along about 1950. February to be exact, in Corning, New York. And when I was born, I had sight in my right eye, a partial sight that is, and I was blind, totally blind in my left eye. And I went to school in Batavia, New York. I was a year starting due to surgery. I had eye surgery at age of five without any success, but that kind of held me back first year of school. So I started school in 1956 at Batavia, the School for the Blind, and they started me a year late, so I was fortunate they popped me right into the first grade. And, I don't know, I'm trying to think what things I did at Batavia, not the usual things you do up through the years. And I didn't like Batavia at first, but I guess anybody when they're away from home at the age of 5, 6 years old or, get homesick and that sort of thing. I was about 100 miles away from the Batavia school, so I only got to come home about once a month, and later on in years I got to be where I wanted to come home every weekend, so that worked out pretty good.
I know from many, many stories you've told me about your childhood that you and your brothers had a lot of fun and that you were included in everything. I'm wondering if you can tell us some of your most memorable moments as a small one, as a little kid. And if my guess is right, it'd probably involve you being in trouble.
Well, sort of, you're right. I guess I was pretty active. I'd come home from Batavia on the weekends, and a lot of times my parents would go camping on weekends, and when I was a little kid, I loved to go with them. But as I got up in years, teenager and such, I got a little bit on the wild side, I guess, and when my parents would go camping on a weekend, and my brother and I, we would throw a party starting on Friday night until Sunday. And we were, like I said, we were bad. We drank underage and stuff like that, and got to be well known for our parties on the weekends. Oh dear, I guess things a lot of kids do. And let's see, what else did I do? Okay, I learned to water ski about age 11. My brother got me into that. I always enjoyed water skiing. And let's see, what else did I do? Okay, I went to teen dances. In Corning, they had a lot of the teen dances at the schools, and they had one place called the Teen Club, and they had a band there every Friday and Saturday night. And used to go to those, and it was a lot of fun. Trying to think what other little things I got involved in. I owned my own car after I got out of school. Of course, that was a little later. Went to school at Batavia in 1967, graduated from there, and then went to, and I started to work at the Shelter's Workshop, and I bought a little 65 Volkswagen Karmann Ghia. And I just had to be like the other teenagers that, had a car, so I bought that, and had a friend of mine that used to drive it for me. He'd drive me back and forth to work, and then on on the weekends we'd go out and party and have fun. And I used to love to get out on the back country roads and drive that thing. It had four speed, it was standard on the floor. Used to just love to get out and speed shift that thing and work the clutch and all that, you know. As long as I had somebody that could tell me where I was going, I had, you know, it was all right.
Why does that story not surprise me? Okay, so you've graduated from Batavia, and you were working in the sheltered workshop, and then I think a couple big events happened in your life with marriage and some very unique training you received, I think, in Michigan. Would you tell us about that?
Yeah, okay. Well, I was still working at the sheltered workshop in Elmira, New York. It was about 20 miles from here. And I met my first wife, and we got married, and then my daughter arrived, Tracy. And shortly after that, I was trying to find better employment. I wasn't really happy at the sheltered workshop. Pay was pretty low. I think it was $30 a week, if I remember right. We packed up and moved out to Jacksonville, Florida. And we were only there like 6 months, and it just wasn't our place, I guess. So in the meantime, my mother had moved to Battle Creek, Michigan, and I had a lot of aunts and uncles there. So we hopped a train and moved from Jacksonville, Florida to Battle Creek, Michigan. And in Michigan, I went to the rehab center in Kalamazoo, and I was I enjoyed that. And they thought that I would be capable of going to machine operator school. I was going to be the first person in the state of Michigan to ever attend such a school, and they were pretty sure I could do it. Well, that kind of fell through due to marriage problems, and so I was kind of disappointed that I missed that opportunity, but oh well, life goes on. So I left there and moved back to Corning, New York, where I was born, around about 1975. And I might add also, while I was in Michigan, my son was born, Terry. He was born 1973, I believe it was. So that was, of course, another great part of my life. But then shortly after that is when I moved back to Corning.
Okay, and I think your oldest son, Perry, was named after your brother, Perry. And you have another son, Terry. So in one family, we have two Terrys and two Perrys. All right, we're back in Corning, and what was the next major event that happened, Terry?
Okay, I was single for a little while. I think maybe about a year. I kind of jumped from the frying pan into the fire, so a lot of people say. And then I had another son. That's where my son Terry came into being. And let's see, that was, I'm not going to give you a date because my memory's not that good. But anyway, we, and that marriage lasted about 5 years. And during that 5 years, I did get into sales of two-way radio equipment a little bit, and it was just kind of playing around with the thing of selling radios and stuff. Okay, and then about 1980-81, my second wife and I divorced, and then I met my present wife, Nancy. And We've been together since 1981. And shortly after we got together, we opened up a two-way radio shop in our home. Sold and repaired, modified two-way radio equipment. And we did that from 1981 till 1991. And it was fun. We also did installation of telephone equipment, ran telephone lines, installed jacks in people's homes, and that sort of thing.
Well, I'd have to say 1981 was a wonderful year for both of you. We all congratulate you on your choice there, Terry. Tell us more about the business. What exactly was your part in the business, and what did Nancy do?
Yeah, okay. Well, I did a lot of the tuning of radios, alignments, frequency alignments, tuning, and Nancy did a lot of the soldering and so on. And I also had to do some radios we had to install switches, so I would drill cases, and that was quite detailed work. I mean, you had to be very careful where you drill the hole, because even though there's not much around the outside of the case, there's a lot of little components on the inside, so I had to be pretty precise on where I was drilling in a case, which sometimes could be very hairy, but we managed that pretty good. So, and I would do, like when we ran telephone lines in homes and so on, I would try to hide the wire. I'd run it behind the mop boards, you know, and of course I'd do the drilling of the holes through the floor and so on. And Nancy kind of was great in because, you know, you go into a house that you're not familiar with, and, you know, you have to know where you're going with the wire and so on and so forth. So she was a great help in that respect.
Sounds like a great business, and I know how much you love ham radio. Why did you decide to close the business, Terry?
Well, actually, the biggest reason was, people were starting to order over the internet, and there's a lot of mail order places where they could buy equipment as cheap as, or cheaper than what we could sell it for. Because most of your big company or stores, they'd buy in quantity, and we couldn't do that. We couldn't carry a lot of stock. And also, we were getting kind of tired of not having time to ourselves. You know, when you have a business in your home, you have somebody knocking on your door all the time, and the phone's ringing all hours, you know, day and night, and you really didn't have any private time.
Sounds like it was just time for a change for many reasons. Well, you brought up the internet. I'd kind of like to hear how you got started with computers, unless there's something chronologically we should hit first.
Yeah, this is something else you want me to make sure I hit on. About the last, can't remember exactly the years, I think it was 1988 to 92. Part of that time, we're still in the home business, but I was working part time at the Watkins Glen International Raceway, which is a one of the tracks where they hold a lot of your Grand Prix, or used to be Grand Prix, NASCAR races. And I was a radio dispatcher. I worked in a little building where I had five different radios and two different telephone lines, and that was quite an exciting job. And I'm not sure if there's people know, but there's, you know, racetrack is, it's almost like a town building overnight. There's nobody there one day, and next day there's thousands, and a lot of excitement, a lot of problems, and it would keep me pretty busy. you'd be on two radios at a time, sometimes three, and you'd be trying to answer a question on one radio while somebody else was calling you on another, and it was quite a challenge, but we made it through it. And there was also an information booth where people would come in and ask information, lost and found, and so on. So a lot of things I had to cover there in one spot. And I worked 12-hour shift. I worked from 7 in the evening till 7 in the morning there. And I did that for 4 years.
Well, it sounds like the racetrack job was a good preparer for everything you do for us and for the people. And it does sound like that was a very exciting job, Terry.
Yeah, and you did mention the computers. I got in computers, I'd say, in the mid-90s, or 90, I guess early 90s, I guess. Not much, but I was into it in the DOS and that type of thing. And I guess that brings me almost up to present. I guess part of my ham radio was, started out right around in the early 90s, where I really got active in it. And also, about the same time I was into computers, I actually got my ham license in 1985, but I wasn't active the first couple of years.
Well, before we start talking about your enrollment on For the People, your role in For the People, tell us about all the volunteer work you've done, Terry. I know you've contributed a lot to the ham community and your local community. Tell us about that, if you will.
Yeah, okay. Of course, that was a lot of my volunteer work was with ham radio. I'm the president of the Corning Amateur Radio Association, our local ham radio club. And we do a lot of volunteer work with National Weather Service. Spot bad storms is coming into the area. And we have reporters in 7 counties that call into our local repeater, which, if you're not familiar with what a repeater is, it's a station on the top of a hill that with very low power you can talk with some people call it a walkie-talkie, we call it a handheld or HT, and you transmit to this radio tower and then it retransmits out, so you cover a lot of area. And our repeater here in Corning is a hub for 7 counties, and we have liaisons that get on these other repeaters in other towns and collect information, bring it back to our repeater, and report it to us, and then we pass that information on to Binghamton, New York, which is our National Weather Service. And some of the other volunteer work we do is we have a wine glass marathon here every year, which is runners that run 26 miles from Bath, New York to Corning, New York, which, that's a few more miles than what I want to run, but anyway, what we do, our club provides the communications, which people stand along the street or sets in their car in various locations. And they call net control, which that's usually where I'm at, and report any kind of problems with the runners, any messages that has to be passed to the heads of the operations. And it's quite a rewarding job. And we also do pretty much the same thing for the MS walk that goes on every spring here in May.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you own and maintain a repeater? And are you still president of the local club there?
Yeah, Jen, I'm presently still the president. I try to shove the job off on somebody else, but they don't seem to want to do it. But anyway, I'm still the president, and it's quite a responsibility, but it's rewarding too. It's fun. And yeah, I do have I own two repeaters, one UHF and VHF repeater, and I have to maintain those. Climb up on a tower and do some work here and there, and which is a lot of fun. A little dangerous, but I have always kind of lived dangerous. I work on my own antennas up on the roof, and I just be careful not to take that big step.
Oh, please be careful. Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention one of the most important things about your ham radio involvement, and that's Wednesday night.
Oh, yes, you would bring that up, wouldn't you, Jen? Yeah, Wednesday night, a bunch of ham radio operators get together, and we go for chicken wings on Wednesday night. A lot of times we have chicken wings, and then occasionally I'll have a Philly cheesesteak sandwich, and, you know, I rather enjoy that, and I have to come home and then get on the computer and pick on Jen about it, because I know she loves them. So anytime anybody has a chance to harass her a little bit, go ahead and do so.
Okay. Well, before I launch into your involvement with For the People, is there anything else you'd like to cover, Terry?
I think you mentioned you wanted me to cover some of the things I do around the home as far as maintenance. I do my own plumbing, most of it anyway, electrical wiring. Nancy and I have done some carpentry work, done remodeling of cupboards, cabinets, and so on. Run a power saw. And, I also do automobile repairs. I change the starter, alternators, and radiators, and all that type of things. And, trying to think if there's anything else. I think that about covers it all.
Well, I know you've talked about tech support. You talked me through how to fix a plumbing problem on For the People. I thought that was really great.
Yeah, I've done that, you know. Of course, I guess it goes back to if you can't afford it to hire somebody, you do it yourself.
For sure. Another interesting thing, Terry, I know you have a retired guide dog, Laser. But if I'm not mistaken, I think you're one of those blind folks who have very, very good orientation, and you're able to walk your entire neighborhood without a cane or a dog or any kind of assistance. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I do that. And also, Jennifer and a few other ones got after me because, well, I agree with them. Not carrying a cane is dangerous because other people should know that you're blind. But yeah, I live in a area where it's not a whole lot of traffic. It's like a couple half circles put together end to end, and then we live just off of a state highway, and I go out and walk to the neighbors without a cane or anything, and I also walk over to a friend of mine, Ted's house, that lives across the state route 414 here, and I do that without a cane. Well, I don't know, last couple of times I've taken a cane because I heard about it from so many people that I should, but I don't whip the cane out until I actually get out to the highway, and then I'll use the cane. But yeah, I've always been pretty good at finding my way around.
And you actually enjoy traveling, don't you?
Pardon, Jen, I didn't get that.
You enjoy traveling, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I enjoy traveling, you know, by myself, or I also phone a lot. I went out to Kansas a couple times when my stepson was in the service, and my guide dog Laser, which I got him from Morristown, New Jersey back in 1992, and which Jen mentioned is retired now. But we did real well.
Okay, well, are you relaxed now, Terry, or are you still nervous?
Well, Moosey says I'm good to go, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm ready to start talking about your involvement with For the People, if you think we're at that point, Terry.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
It wasn't long after For the People was founded that Terry started coming to the site, and he was quiet. I know all of you will find that hard to believe, but he was. And I thought he seemed like such a nice guy. I kept trying to draw him out and get him more involved. And I finally talked him into presenting one of his own recipes for chili in a Blue Plate special event. And it took a lot of doing, believe me. And the day rolled around, and I showed up, and lots of other folks were there waiting to hear this chili recipe from our buddy Terry. And he no-showed on us. You want to tell us why, Terry?
Well, I had a new arrival, my granddaughter. And, I wanted to be here, but that was, I thought, was a little more important. So, I had to go.
We forgave you for forgetting about us. You were a pretty regular visitor on the site, Terry, but not terribly involved, as I was saying, until the notice about Lipstream closing down came to about. We had 4 days' notice that we were no longer going to have a chat client, and Terry really did step in and save the day for us. I think those 4 days that we had to get ready for a transition were very challenging, very exhausting for Terry. But those 4 days and the next several weeks, I think, has really got Terry extremely involved in our site, and I'm going to let him tell you about that.
Yeah, we started out where, like Jen said, they had 4 days' notice that we're going to lose Lipstream, and I had a program called Vox Chat. It was a server that I ran on my own, and it didn't get a whole lot of use, but I figured, there was a chance I could possibly help. And so I told Jen about it, and she thought that was a great idea. But there was a lot of work to move people over to this chat client. We had INI files that we had to copy and paste, and at that time I wasn't really good with self-extractors and how to create them and so on and so forth. Wouldn't be so bad today as it was back then. But, I was almost up day and night straight for about 4 days trying to help people while we had Lipstream still make the big move over to VoxChat. VoxChat was not the greatest. The audio was kind of strange, but it would work. It would keep us in touch until we could find something better. So I was up almost 4 days straight showing people how to copy and paste files into a certain directory and so on. It was fun, but it made for a long day, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And that's where I really grew to love this great family For the People. I mean, it's really brought me close to everybody, and it's just so fantastic. to communicate with people throughout the country and the world.
And for weeks, I know you posted your telephone publicly on our list, and for weeks you were receiving phone calls. I remember you saying to me one day, I didn't realize until I offered my chat server how important For the People is to so many people. And we're really, really fortunate you were able to help us during that interim, Terry. We worked real hard to try to purchase our own copy of VoxChat for the site, but that never came to be. But Terry and VoxChat did save the day. We all kind of sound like we were on Thorazine half the time, but we were able to at least stay in touch.
Yeah, I really, really did find out how much For the People meant to a lot of people. And, you know, it really is great to be part of it.
Well, you certainly have become part of it, Terry. Since your involvement, and we've moved on to more sophisticated chat clients, Terry runs our large server that 90-some rooms are on. We have a second server that Barry maintains. And that has been a real challenge because there's been a lot of hardware problems. And you teach classes and offer an awful lot of tech support on the site. Terry is also vice president of For the People Life Center, which is a governing organization, basically, that organizes and runs the site. So I don't know if you have any more words you want to say about your involvement on the site, Terry, but I know everyone wants to tell you many, many thank yous, and that you could never be replaced.
No, I enjoy it. It's really great, and you know, I feel so much a part of it. And I, you know, you worry about people if we actually never met, but you know, you get to know people, you talk to them every day, and they're very much a part of my life. And you know, I just so happy that everybody's out there. And you know, For the People is, you know, just a great community, and I just don't know how to explain how I my true feeling. But you know, I've gotten a lot of help and stuff from For the People as well, and I really enjoy helping people. I always have. It's rewarding. It's a nice feeling that know that you made a part in their lives.
I couldn't agree with you more. Terry, we've had so much fun on this site, and you've been in the middle of a lot of it. Many, many of us have enjoyed the fact that you have probably experienced at least, I'd say at least 200 nickname changes, every bit of 100, I know. Any comments?
Oh boy, I don't know. Yeah, it's been interesting, but it's been fun. I love a good time, and as you know from my story, and I love to pick and I love to be picked on. So you know, feel free to get me anytime you can, but just look out for the consequences. You never know what's going to happen.
I have to announce a little contest here. And that is, whoever can send me a list of the most nicknames Terry Borden has had in the last 2 years will win a CD of their choice. We have 5 different ones we can offer you. So just email us as many of Terry's nicknames you can remember, and you can win a CD, a Peep CD, or a Chris Bell CD. We'll post the names of the 5 CDs. But I'd like to have a list of all those names myself. I never kept track of them, Terry.
Well, I can't either. There's been many, but it's been a lot of fun, and you know, it's been great. And it's Christmas is growing close, and I have a feeling I'm going to be a fruitcake again this year.
Still a fruitcake, Terry. Our buddy Rich, I think, is in the room. He's probably second runner-up for most nicknames. Well, Terry, again, so many thanks for all you do for the site and for being one of my dearest friends. And I'm going to turn the floor over to you one last time, and then all our members for questions and comments.
Okay, thanks, Jen. And I definitely enjoyed being here, even though I played up to being real nervous, which I was. But, you know, I had to play it up a little bit, too. But it's definitely been a pleasure. And we'll open the floor to any questions. I'm not sure if I have the answers, you know. I'm not like Radio Shack. You've got questions, I got answers. But I'll try.
Yeah, I want to know where, what singing school you went to.
Oh. Well, I got kicked out of that, so we won't even go there.
I bet I can't talk you into tiptoe through the tulips, can I?
Forget it. Oh no, that's gonna be on. Oh no, that's gonna be up on the work page. Forget it.
Dennis, don't edit that out, please.
Yeah, I forgot this was archived. I better cut that out.
Any other questions or comments for this nut?
Just say, Terry. Nothing out there on the internet for prosperity.
I know, it's scary.
I, for one, Terry, would like to thank you for all you did for the people and are doing for the people. As you people all know, this is my home away from home, my second home, really.
Terry, I have one question for you. When you were doing the dispatching, did you have to keep a log or anything?
Oh yeah, I used a trusty old Perkins Braille writer, and I also used a mini cassette recorder, Vox activated, Bob.
Okay, did you have to fill out the paperwork as far as the plant goes, or the reason I'm asking, Gwen did when she worked for the county. She had to memorize the form, like, how many pages were on the go on each line before she could type, and first one thing, then another to make sure she was in the right box.
No, actually, I didn't have to do that. Pretty much, if there was any problems on the grounds, the security officer themselves would have to come in and fill out the paperwork, an incident report.
Is it okay if I take the handcuffs off now?
You did good, Moosey. Terry, can you tell me how you play that music through the sound card?
He doesn't know nothing.
That's right, I don't know nothing.
Dennis, I think you have a lot of editing to do on this one so far. Well, Terry, I want to hear the story about how you got your kitchen floor so nice and clean.
Oh, floor cleans best if you use cream of wheat. Oh, nothing like it. Try it sometime. This was when I was living in Michigan. I thought I'd be a nice guy and mop the floor for my wife, and I couldn't figure out what's going on. This stuff was underneath the kitchen sink, which is where we always kept the spick and span. And I mopped the floor, and when I got done, before I emptied it, I heard something. I felt down the bottom of the pail, and thankfully, all the cream of wheat soaked to the bottom of the pail. So when she got home, I said, "Gee," I said, "What's in this pot?" She says, "Cream of wheat. Why?" And I says, "Well, I just mopped the floor with it."
I just love that story. Thank you.
I think he's trying to catch up with Jim Moore, but that's another story for another time.
What did you use as wax then?
I hate cream of wheat. It's perfect for mopping the floor.
Any other questions for Terry?
Yeah, one serious question. As the internet grows, back when it kind of started, it was like the Model T of automobiles for the internet. Now I'd say we probably finally got the radio in the car. So what do you see in the future for the people here in the near horizon?
Well, as the you know, for the people grows, you know, I'm sure that we'll end up probably with more servers and really don't have an idea where it grows, but we have an idea where we want it to go, and pretty soon we'll have some online store things going, and where you can purchase different things online, and actually Jennifer would probably be best at saying where we want it to go than I would.
But I didn't get asked that during my interview, so I'm not answering.
Good question, though.
Very good question. Any other questions before we close? Well, as always, I want to thank Becky for coordinating Spotlight and Dennis for recording and editing these files. And thank each and every one of you for coming and participating today.